Ephesians 5, and so we're doing another lesson, Family on the Firm Foundation, back in Ephesians 5 again, lot in this chapter. Today I'm going to title this, Giving Yourselves to Each Other. a big part of that will be subtitled Intimacy in Marriage, and Giving Yourself to Each Other, and Ephesians 5. And we'll start there and then go to some other passages. And we're going to read verse 21 and go forward from there. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, let's pray. We'll get into it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the chance to teach on what it says. We are honored to be able to study the scripture and to be able to learn about your concepts of marriage. And Lord, you're right when you said that the word of God is what we need to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In every area, Lord, you deal with and you help us so we're prepared for all of life. Thank you for the wonderful word of God. We praise you for it. We pray your spirit would speak to us and help us to see things properly and to get in, get your context and get your thoughts on this way of thinking within marriage. Please, Lord, speak to us and help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just a couple things here. I want to give you some general principles that are principles throughout the Bible. Okay, on the subject of how people treat each other and how Christians should treat each other. And so we're going to just teach you those principles. They're going to apply them to one area of marriage, and then we're going to teach about that a little bit. And the general Bible principles also apply to the husband and wife relationship. And so first of all, we see the first thing is we're supposed to submit one to another. Okay, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, we understand the next verse, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. We believe that. We taught that last week. However, we see that you're submitting yourselves one to another. Okay, and so that means Christians are supposed to put themselves below. Submit means, that's basically what it means, put yourself below. And thinking the other is better than themselves. And in other words, you serve, you submit, You know what, if this person wants their way, you'll give them their way as long as you possibly can. I understand there's a time to take a stand where you can't do wrong and things like that. But give in. Do what they want whenever possible. That's a biblical principle. Submitting yourselves one to another. Look not every man in the things of himself, but every man also in the things of others. I could preach a whole sermon on this because it's such a big concept in the Bible, but it's so foreign to our thinking that automatically when I say that statement, our American minds come with 20 challenges to it. What, am I supposed to submit to them if they want to steal my money? Am I supposed to submit to them if they want to take my car from me? Because we're taught to be me first. Okay, I'm not saying if somebody wants to kill you, so it's okay, here I am. And, you know, I'm not saying things like that. I'm submitting yourselves one to another. In the fear of God. And so you say, you know what? Jesus washed Judas's feet. Submit is, you know what? If you want to go there, that's fine. We are so, and a lot of these points are similar. But, you know, if you would like to, you know what? You want to go to McDonald's, I want to go to Burger King, that's fine. Let's go to McDonald's, it's fine. Not the okay, fine, but you know what? I'll probably hate every bite of it. That's not a submissive attitude. That's the tip. You ever have somebody agree, but you say, never mind? Okay, that's not it. You submit yourself to each other. You know, if you want that, that's fine. You want the air conditioner on, that's fine. You want it off. You know what? I'm whatever makes you happy. I just want a blessing to you. Submitting yourselves one to another. Number two, we're supposed to serve one another. The Bible says, Philippians 2, but Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Philippians 2, 7, 8, 9, but took upon him the form of a servant. and became the likeness of sinful men. Jesus became a servant. Isn't that amazing? I think it's so amazing Jesus washed the disciples' feet because their feet needed washed. Serving others. And being a servant, being somebody who doesn't always want to be served, but looking to serve other people. That's a biblical concept that Christians are supposed to be. Serve one another. Be like Jesus says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him in the form of a servant. You're supposed to be like Jesus in that way. Jesus served us. Moses served his generation by the will of God. Is that Moses or David? I think it was Moses. Served his generation by, no, it was David. Served his generation by the will of God. Served. You're supposed to serve one another. Jesus said, the greatest among you is your servant. So these are just principles of general Christianity. Next, we're supposed to prefer one another. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Prefer one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. It comes to mind, I remember one of the young men in our youth group, he was a good guy and just loved the Lord with all his heart. And he got a job at a gas station. In Oregon, you don't pump your own gas. They pump it for you. And so he worked in the gas station. And there was three guys to pump gas. But this guy loved the Lord, and he wanted to work for Jesus. And so when a customer came in, he was the first one up every single time. And then if somebody else pulled up, he would go over them, and you could pump gas for two cars at once. And he pumped two, and sometimes pumped three. And it turned out these other two guys hardly did anything. They called him Superman. And they did that. You know, we with our self-will would probably be so angry about that and gripe at those guys and complain about those guys. But he was glad he got to serve Jesus. And he got the opportunity, and he was getting paid, and wasn't, you know, just go over and start it and take this guy's money and do this. And, you know, he had the right attitude that very few of us have. We're also, it's about me, and I'm not being treated fair, and this is not my job description, and you're making it harder on me. And I there's nothing wrong with you saying, you know what, I have too much to do here, can you help? You know, there's nothing wrong with saying something, but ultimately, just having the attitude of, you know what, I'm just glad to be alive, anybody I can help, I'm glad. We're so self-willed. And so selfish. Preferring one another. I'd rather you have it than me. Boy, when I heard a preacher say that one time, and he says, that's the attitude you got to have to be a good Christian. I'd rather you have it than me. And I said, ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that. If I have a candy bar and it's me and them, I'm one candy bar, two people. I'd rather me have it than them. If I'm being a good Christian that day, I'll give them half. I break it in half and I pick which side I get. And that's kind of the, you know, I don't know that I'm that good a Christian. I'd rather you have it than me. And then I over the years I've ran across those Christians who really have that attitude. And man, they show me a lot. And preferring one another. Next, another biblical principle is love others as yourself. Mark 12:31. Greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. Second commandment is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the thing. So you want them to be just as happy as you want to be. These are not our attitudes, are they? These are not what we want. You know, I'm glad. You know what? I know I'm not happy, but I'm glad you're happy. We're so petty. We've gotten so petty that if somebody else gets something really nice, even though it has nothing to do with us, we are not happy for them. If they bought a new car and we're driving a junker, we hope they got a lemon. Why? Because we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so we see that. All the teenagers are in there. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Dave. And so we see that. But they love thy neighbor as thyself. These are biblical attitudes. These are biblical state of minds. These are the way that we are supposed to live towards other Christians. And just in general, not just in family. But by the way, if we're supposed to do that for other Christians and other people in society in general, probably we should do it in our own home. So, we're supposed to submit to one another. We're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to prefer one another. We're supposed to love as ourselves. We're even supposed to love our enemies. We unfortunately put more effort into blessing enemies and unsaved people than our own family. Well, they need to see the love of God. They're not saved. Well, so does your saved Christian brother and sister. And by the way, it's kind of a funny thing, but churches do this, and I get why they do it, and it happens, is everybody's really friendly to the visitor, but not necessarily to everybody who's always there. But everybody in church is important. Be kindly affectionate. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a biblical principle. Next principle is be kind. Be kind. We can read Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Ephesians 4:32 is our memory verse today. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind one to another. That's another biblical principle. Just for all Christians, they're all supposed to have that. And by the way, I want to make sure everybody knows this is in here is for married people, widowed, single people is the back class. That's adults and teens. Everybody's single, especially back there, and they are back there. So that's what we're doing today. So if you're single, that's back there. All right. Next, we're supposed to be kind. And then next biblical principle is it's more blessed to give than receive. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. We're getting to the marriage thing here in a second. It's more blessed to give than receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring we ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? It's more blessed to give than receive. That's the biblical principle. Now, again, these are not natural things. These are supernatural. But, so, would you rather give a candy bar or get a candy bar? We'd rather get one, wouldn't we? But what's more blessed? More blessed to give. So, here's a bunch of principles here. We got these principles. These are Christian principles. And let me take it back to Ephesians 5 now. These are what we're supposed to do. This is what every Christian's supposed to do in general. It's our lifestyle. It's what good Christians do. We do this to unsaved people. We do it to save people. So certainly we should do it within our homes. Ephesians 5. And let me read these principles again. Number one, you submit yourself to each other. Number two, serve one another. Number three, prefer one another. Romans 12:10. Prefer. I like that one. Prefer one another. In honor, prefer one another. That's so good. Love as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're supposed to be kind. And then number six. It's more blessed to give than receive. Now, Ephesians 5. Let's look at verse 25. We already read it. But husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. One of them, when I'm doing premarital counseling, and it's pretty thorough, and we get into it. One of the things that scares me the most, there's a few things that are just going to make me say no. And one of those things up there that scares me the most, where go get married, just don't have me do it. I don't mind somebody get married. I just don't like doing all the ceremonies. I don't think they're going to stay married. So, but one of the things that scares me the most that I know there's going to be massive problems is a selfish person. A selfish person. Now, I understand by nature we're selfish, and most people got some selfishness in them, okay? All of us do. I know I have selfishness in me. But if there are people who the world revolves around them, they're just, it's all about them, it's all about them, it's all about them, and they're going into marriage, and I watch their approach, and their approach is, they're going to make me happy. And that's all it's about. And the self is approached to marriage. Selfishness is so dangerous. Being self-willed. Every single situation applies to how they didn't make them happy. Somebody didn't make them happy. Everybody in the world is judged by one judgment. Were they good to me? They bless me. You know what the people I'm talking about? And their whole spectrum is them. Okay? Those people are gonna have a very hard time in marriage. It's impossible for two people to live together in harmony. It can last for a little while infatuation lasts, but eventually you got to learn to give and be unselfish, and that's very, very hard for selfish people to do. And it's one of the things. Now, Let me take it to 1 Corinthians 7 is where we're going to really focus today. So I want to take these principles, and they apply to every area of marriage, but that's where we're with the married people today, or the widow people and such, is because the principles here I want to apply to the area of intimacy in marriage. Intimacy is the word we'll use for sexual relations. Now, I want to real quickly just say this. People are going to say, I don't think that's a part of church. I don't think you'd be talking about that in church. I don't think that's something that, it's a little difficult to talk about this way. We have married people in here. I want to say, if you read your Bible, you're going to find out that is appropriate to talk about in church. There's an entire book of the Bible about sexual things called Song of Solomon. It's 12 chapters? Entire book of the Bible, okay? The Bible says you're thoroughly furnished into all good works. And as a pastor, having done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, it's a very important area of marriage. And if it's wrong, there's a lot of problems. And there's a lot of problems with that because of the society we live in. And so it's very biblical. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is very specific in it. And that's where we'll spend our time here. But Song of Solomon is very much about it also. But the instruction is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And intimacy, let me start 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That word touch is a fascinating word in the Greek. It's a very interesting Bible study. It means to kindle a fire, okay? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let everyone have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband. I'm going to give you a few thoughts. First of all, intimacy is God's creation, and it is good, pure, and a blessing. Okay? That is foundation here of all we're going to say here. The problem comes is this. there's a big problem in our society because sexuality that God made, okay, God created it, has been taken outside of marriage and perverted and messed up and warped in every other way. And so we say, thou shalt not, and a whole bunch of things. Homosexuality, adultery, fornication, pornography, all kinds of things we say, thou shalt not. But understand, the danger is when you preach all those thou shalt nots, we don't get the thou shalt. Okay? And that's in there. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. It's good to touch a woman. It's good to touch your husband. It's biblical. It's in here. We're going to see real specifically, God's going to say, you need to. It's important, okay? Intimacy was created by God. It's the strongest desire of a man. God wanted the world to be replenished, and so to make sure they did that, he made it very easy, and he made it very desirable, and it's the strongest desire, especially of a man, but also of a woman when they're right. The second thing that happened to make people not like it is abuse, and abuse has made a whole bunch of people afraid of that part of marriage, and especially women. Because of mistreatment and abuse and molestation, all those things that happen. And so a whole bunch of people think that it's dirty. Intimacy is not dirty. It's holy and pure and godly. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children from it. It is a good thing. It's a godly thing. It's a holy thing. It's a pure thing. And when I say women, we're going to talk a lot about, we got several points here. Women, don't make your husband feel dirty or like he's bad because he wants intimacy a lot. Okay? There are reasons for that in our society. The biggest reason is, I'm going to say, is because what stimulates a man is around him all the time everywhere. Okay? Men are stimulated by sight. And everywhere a man, does not matter if your husband's a good man who doesn't look at anything bad, doesn't try to look on the internet at bad things, it doesn't matter. He lives in America. And men are stimulated by sight, and sight is everywhere, driving down the road. Just like a woman might be stimulated by feeling beautiful and a man talking and telling her she's wonderful. Just imagine if everywhere you went, every man said, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I love you. I can't look at you enough. If everywhere you went, men are doing that to you, think how hard life would be to be faithful. That's what happens to a man all day, every day, because he's attracted by sight, and there's bikini baristas all over the place. There is women who don't wear enough clothes to, you know, clothe a squirrel, and people who dress all kinds of ways, and it's very difficult for a man today. And so don't make him feel bad. You are God's help for him. Okay? Whole bunch of points here. First of all, it's pure and innocent and good, and God created it. Two, it is especially important tool to keep a man pure, but also a woman. Let's read this again for 1 and 2. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Verse 9. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. It is a tool to keep people pure. Okay? And so we see that there in these verses. Number 3. Give them the kindness of what they want. Verse 3. Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Okay? Due benevolence, it means contact. It means kindness. Okay? The due kindness, the due desire of what they want. Be kind to them. The context of this is intimacy and sexual relations. Okay? Really simple. You find what they want and you do that. You give them that. Okay? That's what you do. And you seek to please them. Okay? If you both do that, you'll both be very happy. If one person does that, one person will be happy, and that's good. But if you both do that, you will find that God rewards you with your gratification if you make them happy. Because you're doing a Bible principle. Remember, you're supposed to submit to one another, serve one another, prefer one another, love them as yourself, be kind to them. It's more blessed to give than receive, and you're supposed to give yourself for them. So you give them their due benevolence. You give them what they want. What do they want? What would make them happy? Now, I want to say, real important here, despite what America tries to teach us, men and women are much different. Amen. Okay? They're much different in intimacy. Okay? And men, when you learn that, and women need to learn that, you'll be much easier to make your spouse, and by the way, spouse, happy. Not enough because you love each other. It's not enough because you've been together 10 years. You got to be married for any of this matters. Okay? And you get the blessing of God on it. And so... What do they want? Men and women are very different. I'm not going to be too graphic here, but you know, I want to just point out some differences. Men are more visual. Men have just a strong physical desire for sexual things, for sex. That's what a man wants. Okay? Women hate that. Sometimes they say, come on, let's work up to this. That's what men want. Women are a little different. Now, they want that eventually, but women want to be wanted. A woman wants to be beautiful. The mood matters to a woman. Romantic things, candles and scented things and whole bunch of things. They want the ambience of it. A woman wants touch just besides sex. They want kisses. They want all those things like that. They want touch in all kinds of different ways. And eventually that's what a woman wants in general. Now, if that's not what she wants, that's not what he wants, then find out what they want and make them happy. I'll give you a good book on this. A good book that we've helped many couples with is a book called The Act of Marriage. It's by Tim LaHaye. And we find it easier to give couples that book. We've had couples and it's helped a lot and stuff like that. And my wife, in these areas, my wife and I both counsel together because it's not appropriate to do otherwise. But find out what they want. Find out what they want and give them their due benevolence. Try to be a servant to them. And you say, well, I don't want to. There's people here today who didn't want to be at church. I don't want to read a Bible every day. I don't want to love my enemy. I don't want to pray sometimes. That's life. Die to yourself. And I'm not talking about abuse here. I'm not talking about, okay, understand. It doesn't matter what you want. When you got married, you gave yourself to them. Husbands gave yourself to your wife. Well, I just, you know, she wants all this stuff, and she wants to work up things. She wants to be together for an hour and talk about the day, and all, you know. Well, learn to be unselfish. You'll find her much more affectionate if you learn what she wants. A man who treats a woman right and has the right emotional connection with her and treats her like a queen will find a very affectionate woman. And so you got to understand that. And so give them what they want. Find out what they want. Again, I'm taking all these principles of the Bible of how you treat people and put them right inside the marriage and then put them inside the bedroom because that's what this chapter does and is very important. The Bible says the bed is undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. It's a good thing. It's what God made. It's what God has. It's a clean, pure, holy thing. Next, my point so far, I'm going to repeat my points. We talk about the six or seven things that a Christian is supposed to do. Now underneath that, we're just talking intimacy is God's creation, is good and pure, and it's a blessing. It's supposed to be an important tool to keep a man pure. give them kindness of what they want. Next, it is not just your personal body. It is to be in their power. Okay, let's continue on in this chapter. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. It's pretty strong there. Okay? Remember, submitting yourselves one to another. Understand, men, they're supposed to obey you, but the Bible says your body, she has power of it. If she needs whatever, you're to give. You don't have power over your own body. It's given to her. And when you got married, you became one. I need you or you need me. I need you today. I need this right now. I don't have power. Okay, this is our body. We're one. What do you need? That's the biblical concept. You do not have power of your own body when you say, I do. Your body now becomes part of a team. And whatever is needed. And so just in the same way, if my wife needs me to protect her physically, okay, I don't have a right to say no. She needs that, and we're one, and she needs that part of me. Okay? It's the same in the bedroom. You do not have power over your own bodies. It is given to your spouse. Okay? That's what the Bible says. It's very important, very, very strongly worded here, isn't it? Pretty strong. And I want to say this. In about five key areas of marriage where all the problems come from, this is one of them. This is probably number three, okay? Maybe number four of the key areas where marriage problems come from. And I want to tell you, I am stunned sometimes when a man comes to me and men are over-sexualized because of what we talked about, so there's generally not a problem with the man not wanting to be affectionate with his wife. It's generally the other way around now in where we live, and it could be different in a different society. It could be whatever. I just know in America, I have husbands very frustrated, very grieved, struggling with pornography, struggling with other things, who come to me and say, we have not been intimate for months. One guy told me 2 years. That's wicked sin, ma'am. You're putting him in a terrible position. And you're putting him in woe unto those by whom temptation comes. You're putting him in terrible position where he is struggling. He's got biological things that just need to be taken care of. Okay, and then just also the relationship is part of it. And I want to say sexual relationships, biblically, are supposed to be part of a bigger relationship. It's love also. It's we love each other, and this is part of our expression of love. It's part, yes, it's physical, but it's not just physical. It's a relationship. The smartest man on earth, I forget his name, his IQ is well over 200. He's the smartest guy in the world. He studied the brain, and he said sexual relationships with multiple partners is absolutely asinine to the brain's wiring. You get wired to people through sexual things. And I have the exact quote written down somewhere. And the way he said, he's not a Christian. He just said, I'm just telling you, multiple partners, there is a wiring and intimacy that comes in that act where multiple partners ruins, it messes up your wiring. Okay, that's the smartest guy in the world, highest IQ on earth. He said, I think he's at Stanford. I can't remember his name. Smartest guy in the world. He says that. And that's very true, because there's now God's good. And if you mess up before you're saved or whatever, but you know, God can fix everything. But God wires you that way. That's why a woman gets very wired to the first man she's with. And that's why she can get very damaged if it's abuse and wrong. That's why we need God. Next, do not... So it's not your personal body. It's not to be in your power alone. Now don't abuse that. Don't if they are exhausted, have a headache, haven't slept in 3 days, you know, whatever. Don't be mean. And by the way, you don't always have a headache when all of a sudden. Okay, you don't always have a headache all of a sudden. And if you do, and you can still do something, that's fine. He or she might be kind enough to say, okay, that's fine. But, you know, you should give yourself and give yourself away. Next, do not, therefore, rob them, because it's their body. Verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except to be with content, with consent for a time. Okay, we'll get to that in a sec. The word it says when you will not give intimacy to your spouse is called defrauding. Okay, what does the word defraud mean? Just like it sounds, you're committing fraud, defraud. The word means to rob them. Okay, the word technically, the actual definition is to keep back by fraud. As the word means, you are taking a body that is theirs that they need right now. Just like saying, you know what, they have their car there and they bought their car and they need to drive right now. You say, nope, can't drive the car. What's their car? Okay, you are robbing them. It's the Bible word. Okay, you are robbing them. You cannot do that unless God gives a qualification here, with consent. That means they approve it for a time. That you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, okay? So, this says real specific. All of a sudden you say, you know what? We're intimate a lot. We have a great intimacy in our life, and everything is good and right and pure. And so, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden you say, you know what? We really have a burden right now. We're going to, and we're going to talk a little about fasting this morning. We're going to give ourselves to fasting and prayer. We're going to go apart and not have intimacy for a time. Is that okay with you? Because we're not going to do it if it's not okay with both of us. We're going to do it for a time in order to pray and fast. And fasting humbles your soul and makes you so you don't have things you want. Okay, you can fast from anything. You can fast from food, coffee, TV, whatever. You can fast from a million different things. You're going to fast. You're going to give yourself to fast and prayer for a while. You're going to be apart for a while. And you're going to do that. It's got to be agreed upon. And so, this drives me crazy. Lights are not on. We agree upon it, okay? You can do it then and not. Now, I want you to get a principle here. I want you to, let me go a little farther and I'll give you the principle, because it's very important you understand this. It's super important, okay? You can do that with consent when you agree upon it, but then it says get back together pretty quick. Okay? Let's continue that verse. Defraud you not one another except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. That Satan tempt you not, for your incontinency is the word there, for your not being intimate as often as you should. Do you see how even that is dangerous? Give yourself a fasting and prayer. Okay, maybe you guys cannot be intimate for a while. If you agree upon it and it's for fasting and prayer, you better get back together pretty quick, because you can get real danger if you don't. You see that? Let Satan tempt you for not getting together. Okay? Pretty strong there. On that thought, I just want to give you this thought. If God words it so carefully that you need to get back together pretty quick lest you be tempted and you get in big trouble, couples ought to be getting together a lot. Okay? When my premarital counseling, my pastor, said to me, when you're a young couple, he says, couples often ask me, how often should we have intimacy? He said, when you're a young couple, it's not how many times in a week, it's how many times in a day. That's what my pastor told me, when you're a young couple. Okay, understand you get older, and but this not often for married people in America today is very dangerous. Okay, it should be often. Okay, we don't have a right. Just some few last thoughts here. This is not an amen message, is it? But I know you men, you're amen in me, in your hearts. And number one, we don't have, and by the way, a lot of women too. Women can be very intimate, and if the man's the right man and treats you right, and she's, once she gets anything, all the bad worldly telling her that this stuff's dirty and bad, when she gets all that junk out of her mind, women can be very affectionate, very, 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 it's a good thing. Next, first, we don't have a right to deprive the other of what they want. It's sin. Okay. Number two, share, be unselfish, and serve them. Number three, don't rob them because somebody hurt you. Okay? Real important. Your husband today or your wife today, because somebody hurt you 20 years ago, you are hurting the person who didn't hurt you. Let it go. Give yourself completely away. You'll be much happier. You're going to have to trust. You just have to give yourself away. Do not hurt people who didn't do whatever hurt you in the past. Don't hurt the people who love you now and need you. It's wrong. And you're punishing the wrong person. God will judge the person who hurt you. You bless the person who loves you. Next, make them feel wanted. Pursue them if necessary. You know, women are wonderful, strange creatures. And a woman sometimes will act like she doesn't want something, but what she wants you to pursue him. Back in the day, men used to pursue women. They used to duel over them. And women say, "This is terrible." That's awesome. They really like me, don't they? Women like to be wanted, like to be needed. Sometimes she might say no, but it might not be a very strong no. And you might need to talk to her and chase her and buy her a rose. I'll be back and go buy her a flower and give her a shoulder rub and all kinds of things. And pursue each. I mean, try to make them feel wanted. Write them notes that nobody else will get a hold of. Okay? Do that kind of stuff. And hide them. There's all kinds of things you can do. It's strange. Never let immoral people out there in the world who are going and doing terrible things take away and not have more joy of what God gave us than us, who are godly and also have the spiritual side of it. Make it exciting. Make it passionate. Make it good. Do things. And by the way, if you ask them, what do you like? You'll find out you can really get them attracted and make them very happy, but they just don't tell you. Then maybe they're embarrassed, but ask them what they want. Next, do things outside of the bedroom that make them feel loved and wanted. You can give them go up and hug. Men, hug. Kiss outside of the bedroom. Walk up and rub her arm. Rub her shoulder. Ask her how you're feeling. Wrap your arms around her. And by the way, our kids should see that a husband and wife like each other and that they are affectionate. Why? Because the world's going to tell them, look, if you go be immoral, you can be all kinds of affectionate. No, if you're moral, you can be all kinds of affectionate. I'm not talking don't do anything bad or graphic or immoral in front of them. But be affectionate and let them know, boy, mom and dad like each other. Boy, they're snuggly. That's good for the kids to see that. And they should see that. And do things outside of their bedrooms. Next, get away sometimes. Go rent a hotel room. go somewhere romantic. And men are such misers, I know. Men don't want to spend a dime on anything sometimes, and men don't. And there's always one person in the couple who doesn't like any changes, who's the homebody, and doesn't want to go anywhere or do anything. There's always that just happens. And with my wife and I, it switches back and forth. Sometimes I don't want to go anywhere anymore, and sometimes she doesn't. And it's hard when you got as many kids as we do, and as busy as we are. It's hard to get away. It just is difficult. I shouldn't say this. I didn't say this, okay? We as a church have paid for couples to get away before. We just said, you two, we'll take care of the kids. Go somewhere. I'll reserve the hotel room ahead of time first. I'll say, listen, you're going to burn the church's God's money if you don't go to the hotel room. We got the kids, go. Why? Because you need to get away sometimes. Okay, don't come to me, pastor. Hey, guess what? My wife and I need to get away. Okay, we're broke, but you can do it, and it's good. And get away sometimes. Be romantic. Romantic's not bad, man. I know you're gonna be forced in at first, but you know what? Let's go back to those points to start off with. Now, submit to one another. Serve one another. Prefer one another. Love them as yourself. Be kind. It's more blessed to give than receive. You see how that can apply to the bedroom? It's more blessed to give than receive. Give yourselves for them. Okay? Now, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's read a little more here and we'll finish up. We'll finish up quick. Don't want visitors to come in. I'm talking about this. But I speak this by permission, not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. He's not married. But every man hath his powerful, his proper gift of God. That's a gift. Some people do not need to be married, but most do. One after this man, another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them to abide even as I. You can focus totally on the Lord. It's going to say later in the chapter. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn, and it's wrong to marry and burn. Okay? It says if you have sexual desires, it's called burning. That's why you get married. Okay? That's one of the reasons that drives you to marriage. Now, in that, so women, don't think he's bad or filthy or dirty because he wants intimacy a lot. That's what he lives with. That's where he is. And do not let past things make you not want to. And men, make her want to by being kind and sweet. And words are very powerful with women. Romance. Smooching. Maybe for a while first. Find out what she likes. What would make you, what would turn you on? I mean, talk to her and find out what makes her happy. And compliment her. Women, they're attracted by sight. Stay attractive. Okay? And do that. And if we do all these things and work together and realize that we are each other's and give ourselves to each other, we will have a great passion in marriage and very great intimacy, and we won't be tempted because we have met each other's needs in that area. There's many other areas, but that's God's pattern. Again, good book, The Act of Marriage by Tim LaHaye. Good book on that. There's other good books on it. Read the Song of Solomon. You'll find out God thinks it's an important subject. He put it in his word. And so, all right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us to live in this properly, Father, and help us to give ourselves to these things, Lord, realizing it's a spiritual part of life. And you talk about it in your word, Father, and I pray that we would have great intimacy in our marriages, Father, as our ages is appropriate and as we want and our desires are, Father, may it be met. Please, Lord, help us, Lord, And Lord, help the devil not to get us to think this is a bad area or something that's not godly and holy. You say it's a good thing. And thank you for giving us all these wonderful things within marriage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll be back in 9 minutes.